Almighty God, as we come to worship you this day, fill this place, fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit, that we may be inspired to follow and proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior and our healer. In his name I pray. Amen. So, good morning. Well, the husband had slipped into a terrible pattern of showing no affirmation, no gratitude, no affection whatsoever. So after months of frustration, the wife finally convinced him to go into therapy. And the therapist gently worked with the couple, but focusing most of his attention on the husband, who seemed to have no clue that a relationship really was a two-way street. So one day the therapist had reached a point of utter frustration, and he tried an astounding, unconventional approach by getting up out of his chair, walking over to the wife in front of the husband and laying one long, passionate kiss on her. And he turned to the man and he said, "Now do you get it? Your wife needs that kind of direct attention and affection at least three times a week." And with a blank stare, the man said, Okay. I'll have her here Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays." 9 o'clock was Scout Sunday, so I had to turn to the scouts and say, "That's not the way therapy works, really." So it's interesting how we humans so often miss the obvious. So when you look on the surface of this gospel lesson that Nick just read for us a moment ago, it seems like a fishing story turned out well because a miracle worker happened to show up. The apostles could have easily jumped to the conclusion, "Great, as long as this Jesus guy's around, we're in the money." But as we work our way from the incarnation, from Christmas time, through these weeks of Epiphany, we begin to see beyond the stable and into the opening chapters of Jesus' ministry. And as we do, we have glimpses of Jesus' power through the miracles. But the purpose of these miracles was not to dazzle the crowds, but to point the way to the kingdom of God. So let's take a look with some fine-tuned spectacles at what may be literally going on just below the surface of this particular gospel story. By this point, Jesus is already well into his teaching and healing ministry when he ends up on the edge of Capernaum on the banks of the Sea of Genesaret, or the Sea of Galilee. Simon, who eventually becomes Peter, Simon, who had just finished a long night of fishing without any catch, allows the wandering rabbi to use his boat for a spell to teach large crowds that had gathered on the shore. But when Jesus finishes, he suggests to Simon to go out a little bit further and give it another try. Specifically, Jesus says, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." Now, Simon's a little bit of a whiner here, and he says, "Master, we've been at it all night and caught zip." That's the new version of the Bible. "But if you say so, okay, we'll give another try." And Simon obliges. He lets down his nets, and the catch is so large, it begins to break the nets. It takes two boats to carry in the haul. Now, at that, something interesting happens. Simon seems to put it together. There's more to this man than meets the eyes. Simon drops to his knees and says, "Go away. I'm a sinful man." But Jesus tells him, "Don't be afraid, Simon. We're just getting started, and from now on, you're going to be catching people." And with that, the earliest disciples are called. They follow and they begin the work of bringing a catch of men and women with the gospel message that on that particular day they could have never imagined. Now, we can take away lots of things from this lesson. I could go in a lot of directions, but let me hone in on one, and I'm going to put them under the heading, for lack of a better phrase, of the importance, the need to go all in. Jesus was pushing those early disciples to go deeper into the experience of life. Jesus spoke a great deal about the abundant life he came to bring. In doing so, he wasn't just talking about eternal life, nor was he speaking about some kind of mystical, monastic experience. Jesus was telling his followers that he wanted them to live beyond the surface, to make the most of the time they had been given, to make the most of their friendships, their marriages, their relationships with their children, friends, family, to make the most of their work and their leisure. And of course, at ground zero, to make the most of their faith and relationship with God. Jesus was the living parable of words that would be preached centuries later in various forms in many American pulpits. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Jesus wasn't calling on his apostles to be workaholics, nor was he calling on them to do the impossible. He was calling on them to live life fully and deeply and to live as we were created to live by squeezing every living drop out of every day you are given. And so at least in this story, one of the visual and wonderful ways he does that, the ways he opens the eyes of those first apostles, is with a miracle. But in order to experience it, they had to have a willingness to put out into the deep water and let down the nets. When I was a kid growing up in Alabama, I spent a lot of time on various lakes, on the edge of various lakes, and it was then I became somewhat of a master rock skimmer. I could usually find a flat, smooth rock and lean to one side and shut one eye and pitch it out just the right way so it would skip anywhere from about 5 to 20 times before plunking in the water. But of course, there's much more below the surface of the water. It's one of the reasons I like to scuba dive and snorkel. The top of the water, that's beautiful, but just below the surface, you can find the water brimming and teeming with life. It's possible to live on the surface of life in so many ways. You can ask heartsick wives and husbands who gave up laughter and passion for more work and more things. Or children and teens pummeled in every direction by peer pressure that even though they don't want to, they finally give in. To the man stuck in the dead-end job, the woman who finally gave up staying in touch with her closest friend because it takes too much effort. How sad to slip from the depths of life and float only on the surface. Do any human beings realize life while they live it? Every minute. Emily, a young woman in Thornton Wilder's play, Our Town, asks this question. In the play, Emily dies in childbirth but is granted a unique experience. The stage manager allows her to return from death and live one day of her life with her family. And although she has high hopes for that day, Emily is disappointed. And just before she returns to her place in the cemetery, she cries out in frustration, "We don't have time to look at one another. I didn't realize. So all that was going on, and we never noticed." Do any human beings realize life while they live it every minute? It's so possible that we so quickly skim the surface of life that we fail to get out of it what God intended. Joy and abundance and pleasure and love and real contentment. Jesus did not want, nor does he intend, to have life lived on its surface. So he continued to show his followers the real life, the real catch, if you will, is below the surface. Well, how do we get there? You notice when Jesus suggests to these first apostles to put out into the deep water and let down their nets, their first temptation was to give way to excuses. "Jesus, we're beat. We've been at it all night. Why even try?" And you know, the story could have stopped there. It could have ended there, but they relented. They obeyed, if you will. You see, it's one thing to try and show others the real life is lived below the surface. It's quite another for those people to actually buy into it and to do so in a way that Jesus says to do it. Jesus was specific here. Go out, deep water, let down your nets. They could have gone out, but not deeply. They could have gone out deeply, but only let their nets down a little. Jesus was looking for men and women who were willing to follow him and obey him, not part of the way, but all of the way, willing to go in for the full treatment, so to speak, willing to go below the surface. The writer Elaine Creisman published an essay some years ago, and she included these words. Honestly, she said, "Pursuit of good things can hinder obedience. It's been said that the good is the enemy of the best." She said, for instance, "I think of the times my husband has asked me to do one thing for him during the day, and when he gets home from work, I tell him all the good things I've done. But the question he always has for me is, what about that thing I asked you to do? And many times I have answered, I forgot, or I didn't have time, or I dismissed that request as trivial." And then she goes on to say, and you know, God asks that same question of us. What about the thing I ask you to do? Getting below the surface of life it's not a call to hedonism, nor is it a call to more intense work or multiple relationships or more lines on your resume. It's none of those things. C.S. Lewis puts it well when he wrote, "If we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. We are too easily pleased," Lewis writes. Getting below the surface calls on us first to have a willingness to do so, but secondly, the obedience to actually do it. But what is that best path? What if we really do want more out of life, more out of our relationships, our marriages, our friendships, our work? What if we want some sense of peace in our moments of confusion and pain and weakness? What is the aim of our willingness and obedience to go deeper? You know, once the miracle has occurred, Simon realizes this isn't just about full bellies and bursting wallets. It's about turning to the one who can make sense of everything. And when Simon did, here's the epiphany moment. Here's the moment that Jesus says, "By George, you've got it. Now come follow me. And let's start spreading this good news that for life to have any sense at all, to have any meaning at all, we've got to give ourselves to God." I don't know about you, but it's usually pretty easy for me to believe in God when all's going pretty well in my life. But when things start turning in directions I don't like, I find it harder. I would imagine that's where many people are. That might be where you are. When my wife Laura and I were living and serving in another city, we opened our home to a group of staff and volunteers. And as we closed down to the party at our house, Laura noticed that one of our guests was missing, but had not yet left the house. Now, this was a kind and gentle mother. We knew her. She was extremely active in the church, but her home life was a mess. Laura and I both individually at different times had shared time with her, trying to bring her some hope and some healing, spending time with her in prayer and giving her some direction. And yet you can imagine how shocked we were after all of that when Laura actually found her rummaging through our medicine chest looking for painkillers. It was not long after that that we learned she was heavily addicted to these painkillers and alcohol. We did everything we could to try to get her some real help that she needed, but she rejected every attempt. She eventually left the church and disappeared. It may seem like an easier path around the deeper life to skim the surface, but it really does not deal with life's deeper issues. That's why alcoholism and drug use and illicit sex are not just prevalent among our youth and teens, but virtually people of every age. They are a quick fix. They numb the pain, but they really don't deal with the pain. It's possible to come here week after week and let Jesus only skim the surface of your life. And if you do that, real life will remain elusive. And real problems, whatever they are, will persist, and you'll never really see what could be. Where on earth do we turn? The late Richard Halverson, who once served as chaplain of the United States Senate, provided the perfect compass for a search of that question. He wrote, "Jesus Christ is God's everything for humans' total needs." Let me say that again. He wrote, "Jesus Christ is God's everything for man's, for woman's total needs." In other words, if you want real life here and life yet to come, go deep. And the best way to go is all in and give yourself to Jesus. The real consummation of the gospel story actually sits right here in this lesson we just heard. The meaning point for our lives finds its summum bonum, its greatest good in Christ Jesus. And the deep down meeting point for our crisis moments can only be ignored or numbed away for so long before they do us in. Fortunately, Jesus points us the way home. He is finally the only place to go when all is well and when all is falling apart. Don't miss the point of this remarkable story. Don't brush it off as just another vacation Bible school miracle tale. It tells us some remarkable things. If we're willing to go deeper, if we're willing to obey that call, if we're willing to throw all that we are into the waiting hands of Christ, we will encounter the one who makes life worth living. All the miracles, all the healings, and in the end, the resurrection of Jesus were in and of themselves a message. Christ Jesus has come to set us free by raising each and every willing disciple to full, abundant life, so much so that its burning existence can never be extinguished, even by death itself. One afternoon, the writer William Boggs and his family learned a valuable lesson about life. He was driving on a hot Carolina afternoon when he passed an orchard of you-pick peaches. And this is what he writes. He writes, "I doubt any bargain would be sufficiently attractive enough to lure me out of my air-conditioned car into a steamy afternoon to pick fruit, but we pulled over. We paid our money, selected a bushel basket to fill with fresh, ripe South Carolina peaches. And as we set off into the orchard," he writes, "an old fellow, as wrinkled as a peach himself, who was tending the place, said, 'If you want the best fruit, go deeper into the orchard. The peaches on the fringes are picked over, but deeper in, you're going to find the best fruit.' So we walked in, and we figured we had gone far enough. We set the basket down, but the old man hollered, 'Go deeper!' So we picked up the basket, went a little farther in, and when we started to pick, the man said again, 'No! Go even deeper, the best fruit's further in.' And once more, Boggs and his family picked up their basket, walked a little further, thinking they were surely deep enough as they finally felt like they'd gone as far as they could. The old man hollered once more, 'No, go on, go deeper.' So we did, right into the midst of the orchard, and we found that old man was right. The finest, plumpest, best peaches were untouched and just waiting for us. Not one of us comes here today free of wounds, free of burdens, free of the exhaustion that comes with trying to make sense of a broken marriage or a wayward child or what seems like a dead-end job or a treadmill life existence. You are not without resources. You do have somewhere to go and someone you can go to. He can see places you may not see right now. He can take you places you never dreamed. He who makes all things new can see life where you cannot now see it. But you have to be willing to do something. Will you? You can almost hear him whispering through this story again today, through our prayers and our hymns, through the anthem, through these sacraments. Go deeper. Go deeper. Go deeper still. Maybe it's time today to let it all go, to give him your sin and your guilt and your fear and your worry and your angst, to give him that wayward child, to give him your job, to give him your marriage or that relationship that is troubling you at this very moment. Maybe it's time to give him yourself. Why not let down your net and see what you and Jesus can bring from down there to the up here? Indeed, let down your nets today. Amen.